The Word of God tells us from the words of Jesus. In fact, I guess the message today would be Jesus teaching on prayer that works. We believe the Word. We believe these Scriptures. So my message is not to try to convince you to believe something that you already believe. When we ask the Father in Jesus' name, in faith believing according to the Word of God, it shall come to pass. I said it shall come to pass. And from the lips of Jesus Himself, Jesus gives us these ask prayer promises. Matthew chapter 7 verse 7 said, "Ask, and it shall be given you." And then the conclusion of that little mini teaching there is, "How much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask Him?" I'm going to the utter simplicity of ask this morning. Matthew 18:19. Anything that we shall ask, anything that they shall ask. Matthew 21:22, "And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer." So I've given you Matthew 7:7, Matthew 7:11, Matthew 18:19, and Matthew 21:22. "Whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." Luke 19:8, "Ask, and it shall be given you." Simple, powerful, awesome. John 14:13, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do." I can assure you, you're going to need these scriptures, so you better write them down. I mean, don't just say, "Well, I've heard that." I know you've heard it. I know you've heard it, and I have too, but something fresh is in my spirit on this emphasis. John 14:14, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." And then John 15:7, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." John 15:16, "Whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." God is a giving God. I said, God is a giving God. Now, I want to just, from my heart, share some things with you. It's time to pray, and it's time to pray more. Jesus, above all other things, I'm preaching the word today. We preach, we teach. This church has had a lot of outstanding, some of the most powerful ministries in the world, or the most powerful ministries in the world, have ministered in this house. But Jesus didn't say, "My house shall just be a house of preaching." He did not say, "My house will just be a house of teaching," and teaching is important. He didn't just say, "My house shall be a house of praise and worship." Now, I know some people would like to cut out preaching altogether, and all we do all morning is, or all evening, is just praise and worship. But He didn't say that. He said, "My house shall be called of all nations house of prayer." And that's in the Old Testament in Isaiah 56, as well as in the from the lips of the Lord Jesus. Why should we pray, or why should we pray more? We should pray for greater personal breakthrough. Let me tell you something. I believe in prayer lines. I believe in laying hands on people. And this church has had an abundance of wonderful outpourings of the Spirit, manifestations of the Spirit. But I'm telling you, your personal greater breakthrough and victory is ultimately going to come through prayer. Ultimately. So why should we pray, or why should we pray more? If you're satisfied with your life just like it is, God bless you. I love you. God loves you. And all the best. But if you desire to see a better quality of life for you, for your family, for your children, for your church, for your nation, it's time to pray. It's time to pray for personal breakthrough. Pray for your family. There are things that will never happen, that will never move in your family until, or families, until you pray. For your finances. The thing that baffles me, if this doesn't get your attention, what will? I mean, there's a few super spiritual folks that God can get their attention, but I mean, when you lose half of your retirement, does that make any difference at all? Don't you think it's time to do some praying? It's time to pray over our finances. God wants to bless us. 3 John 2 is still valid. Beloved, I would above all that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Even poverty preachers believe in prosperity. They want their checks. They want their offerings. I had a poverty preacher slip between the wire a few years ago and preached and did his little poverty thing in his own way. And so help me, when the office opened in the morning, they were calling, sending a courier over. They wanted their offering right then. I thought, well, okay, let's move along here. That's been a few years ago, and thank God it's been a few years ago. But I mean, even though he didn't believe in prosperity, he wanted his. So they could go ahead and get it in their bank. All right. Why should you pray, or why should you pray more? For your health. Well, I feel good. I want you to keep on feeling good. You need to pray while you're feeling good. Prayer's not just when you don't feel good. When you're feeling good, when I mean, hey, seems like I'm doing better, or I'm stronger, or I'm whatever. Pray over your health. Speak the word of God over your health while you feel good. For sure, when you don't, but when you don't sometimes feel like even praying about you. Over your health. And believe that, you know, God's dealing with the body of Christ about a better diet and exercise. But you know, when you hit some medical challenges, you're willing to do what you have to do. Huh? Why should we pray? Why should we pray more? For a clear, sound mind. To think clearly the thoughts of God about what's happening in our world today. Man, never been so many voices. When you know the truth about God, when you know the truth about politics, when you know the truth about right and wrong, you can hear something crazy on the radio, and I mean, the Spirit of God in you will say, eh. I mean, you know that what you're hearing is not right on. Or you should. The Spirit of God inside of you, the Spirit has come to guide us into not some truth, but all truth. And if you're open to the truth, the Spirit of God will let you know when things are right on and when they're not. When I get a busy signal in my spirit about elections and politics, I listen to that busy. I call it a busy signal when God's stirring my spirit. This is not business as usual. Listen up a little bit. Study up a little bit. Get to know things. Well, I don't know anything about anything. You better know something about things while you can, as best you can, and the Spirit of God will quicken you there. I need a clear mind. I need a clear mind to think about me. I need a clear mind to think about my family. It's amazing how many people think fuzzy-headed. I mean, did they think at all? We need a clear mind to think about life and what's good to do in life and what's not good to do in life. What to do all the days of our life. We need to pray, or pray more, for the harvest of our church. Don't just be a tithe and offering person. Pray over the harvest. Pray over missions. Pray over stitches. Pray over the prayer outreach. Pray. We need to pray, and pray more over our schools. God's given us Two outstanding schools, very quickly that I can tell you, and that's our Bible school. Pray for that Bible school. What a miracle that you don't have to sell your house, quit your job, or move 1,000 miles or 300 miles or whatever, but that you can get the same basic, no finer basic teaching in our Bible school than you could get in any other Bible school. And I've checked that out very thoroughly. Maybe a few bells and whistles some have that we don't have, but you know, bells and whistles cost money too. Expensive bells and expensive whistles. But right here, you can keep on doing what you're doing and get a good solid foundation from Genesis to Revelation. Also, thank God for our Christian school, Calvary Christian Academy. We're emphasizing our middle name, Christian. We're not just another school. We're not just a private school. We're Calvary Christian Academy going into our 31st year at this time. And I'm telling you, you talk about a breath of fresh air. This group of new folks that has come in has breathed something into my heart, coming up with tears flowing down their cheeks to a person saying, thank you. Thank your church. Tell your people thank you, because all do not attend here. But tell your people thank you for a wonderful school that was here when we had nowhere else to go. This is our third time being a rescuer. And I tell you, these people are so thankful. They are so grateful. I mean, Joe and I went home the other night. She said, Bob, I've never seen it like this. I said, honey, you're right. We haven't. I've never seen as many grateful people that we have a Christian school. And I thought of a few folks I could put in their class. moving right along here. You know, even the blessings of God can become common. Somebody sold their birthright because they lost the zeal. You tell me a bowl of beans is worth your spiritual birthright? Give me a break. Somebody's in serious mental trouble there. That you'd sell out for a bowl of pottage or beans or soup or whatever. You'd sell your spiritual birthright. Well, there's a lot of believers get caught in that emotional trap of just gripe, murmur. And we need to thank God things are as good as they are. Thank God for the blessings of God that we have. We need to thank God for the blessings we have. Thank God for our church. Thank God for you. Pray for our nation. Folks, we got to pray for our nation. We're in some things we're not going to get out of except through prayer. I said we're in some things that right now we can't get out of, but God hears and answers prayer. I said God hears and answers prayer. And if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. I mean, I know I've heard prayers all my life. My mother was a prayer warrior. My grandmother was a prayer warrior. My aunt was a prayer warrior. Dad was a great, great Christian and a great sterling example in my life. But I mean, I've grown up around prayer. Grown up around, you'd be surprised how many varieties of gum are on the bottom of the altar in a church. All colors and they tasted good at the time. Mom was praying and we were bored, so we would, easy pickings, you know. Some of you know what I'm talking about real well, don't you? Yeah, you do. Thank God things are as good as they are. Really amazing. Any of us grew up, wasn't it? Drinking out of the same water hose and oh, mercy. All right. Pray for our nation. Pray for President Obama. Pray for him. Pray for the advisors that surround them. Pray for godly, spiritual advice. Pray for patriotic people to have the reins of our nation. Patriotic people. Leaders of our nation. So pray for you. Pray for your family, your church, your schools, the radio, the television ministry. What a miracle that God has provided. You say, well, what's this all about? let me go down some things that will help you. You know, there's one thing that we must realize, that all answers to prayer hinge on our forgiveness and our love for one another. All answers to prayer hinge on our forgiveness and our love one to another. Remember, Jesus said, I give you a new commandment. Not an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. He didn't say an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth there, but this, of course, that's scripture. He said, I give you a new commandment. Isn't it interesting, Mark 11, that the last two verses of that wonderful faith capsule tell us to forgive, and if you don't forgive, if I don't forgive, your heavenly Father is limited in what He can do for you. So while we're doing all this asking, we've got to remember to do forgiving and loving. You don't have to love people's ways, but you love their soul. You don't have to love the way everyone does everything, but you love them in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just remind us, the Bible tells us that as God loved Jesus. Did you know that God loved Jesus with all of His heart? And do you know that Jesus loved His disciples as the Father had loved Him? Follow me in this analogy. This is what Jesus taught. These are red letter verses. I just don't have time to read all of them today. God loved Jesus. Jesus loved His own. And the Bible says that we are to love one another as God loved Jesus and as Jesus loves us. So I may not agree with you, but I've got to love you. I have two very distinct memories of people in my office, same statement, that said, I hate so-and-so. Both situations, I don't even want to go there. You don't hate and get away with it. Especially a fellow child of God. And someone who said, I hate so-and-so. I should have the position they have on the church. I hate so-and-so. I said, No. No matter how unhappy you are about it, you don't hate it. You're not to hate anybody. And what it was jealousy. They wanted a position that someone else had. And I heard it again. I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago that someone said, I hate so-and-so. And it seemed like my blood just ran down. You don't hate anybody and get away with it. Because it's like a hardening of the arteries. It's like, dear God, you need a total bypass operation. You can't hate and have God's best. A lot of people, I don't like the way they do things. I don't like their attitude. But I'm instructed from the Word to love them and to have forgiveness to them. You can't afford the luxury of unforgiveness. You can't afford the luxury of, well, it's not a luxury, of hate. And, of course, both didn't stay around. I mean, they both went on to other things. But, you know, those statements, they just come back in one and just slap me in the head. And I think, oh, God, help me to articulate. You should never say, I hate. Please don't do that. God will help you in that. Amen? We must check our hearts to forgive all. So, I mean, you can pray 24 hours. You can fast 40 days. You can fast, you can pray, you can pound the wall, you can ask everybody to pray with you. But as long as there's unforgiveness in your heart, you got a problem. And you may have a problem bigger than the person that you have the problem with, because they don't know that you've got a problem and they're going on enjoying life. You're the one that's suffering from that thing. So love and forgiveness is a necessity for answered prayer. It really is. It's what the Word of God, what Jesus taught. We're talking about Jesus teaching on prayer that works. Another thought that I share with you is prayer is something that every believer can do. Sometimes we think prayer is just for the super you know, the super believer, the super saint. No, prayer is something. If you're a born again believer, if you can talk, you can pray. And I know that some people are not able to speak, and I'm not getting into that area, but I'm just, all things being equal, if you can talk, you can talk. If you can talk, you can pray. Every born again believer can pray. You may not pray as eloquently as someone else prays, but you can pray. Because prayer is asking, and the answer to prayer is receiving. Now, not only is prayer something that every believer can do, prayer is something that every believer ought to do. Your life has a tremendous void if there's not some prayer going on in your life. Luke 18:1, Jesus said, men ought to pray. I often wonder why he didn't say women ought to pray, but I guess he knew they would, and we needed the admonition. Prayer is something that every believer ought to do. God hears 9/11 prayers. Yes, he does. He heard my 9/11 prayer on that highway that night. And we've all prayed 9/11 prayers. When you see the radar, the police car, Jesus, Jesus, I'll never speed again, never speed again. I think there's more forgiveness that has to be asked for prayers that are prayed when you spot a squad car and you think that might be part of your paycheck. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Lord, I'll never do again. You know, you just go right down the checklist there real quick. God hears 9/11 prayers, but listen, prayer is fueled and ignited by our faith in God. Yeah, God hears shirt sleeve prayer. God will hear a 9/11 prayer. God will hear an emergency prayer. And I think many times, I don't know, but I know God knows. You know, we think we know what happened? You don't know what happened in the last minutes of someone's life. No matter how they lived or what they did, and I don't either. And so when I don't know, I lift up Jesus. You can always lift up Jesus. You don't have to say something that you have not a clue whether it's right or wrong. But in the final analysis, only God knows those last few seconds or those last few moments. And remember, the thief on the cross did not pray the classic sinner's prayer. Although we do, and I believe in that. But the thief on the cross just said, remember me this day. See, when he said that, everything in him said, I believe! That expression that came out of his heart just simply said, Jesus! I don't know how to say it. I'm not a spiritual man, but I believe. And Jesus said, this day. Good answer, quick answer to prayer, huh? This day. Because when you believe, get ready for a this day. When you believe, get ready for a this day. Prayer is fueled and ignited by our faith based on God's word and promises. Hebrews 11:6 said that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And of course, Mark 11:23 and 24, which is one of the very famous from the very words of our Lord Jesus, you know, speaking to the mountain and having faith for that. You know, prayer is not vain repetition. Prayer is not vain repetition. Prayer is not vain repetition. I want to say that again. Well, what do you do when you don't know what to do? Well, thank God, that's where I'm so thankful for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. When I don't know how to pray, he does, if I let him. When I don't know how to pray, he does. The Spirit maketh intercession, even with groanings which cannot be uttered. So when I don't know how to pray about something, thank God I can pray in the Spirit. And all of us need to do that more. pray in the Spirit. Also, there are groanings that cannot be uttered. God knows the language of weeping and literally of groaning before God. Has your heart ever poured out to such an extent that your prayer broke the back of words? I'm not talking about praying in the Spirit, but your prayer was just a weeping before God. Heard the pastor's wife of a Spirit-filled Methodist pastor's wife on a television program. She said when she first got the word that she had cancer, she said, "I wept for 8 hours. I wept for 8 hours. Then I went upstairs and got my hand on every healing scripture I could get my hand on and knew what I had to do." At first she wept, and then she hooked up and began to, you know, lay hold of and believe the word of God. Folks, this is so simple. Why am I ministering along these lines? Well, because in all of our lives, we're in times. We can fuss about things that are going on, and I do every once in a while. We can get frustrated. I mean, you know, a lot of people are as blessed or more blessed than they've ever been, and there's other folks that are having some real opportunities. But I still come back. I mean, just something as basic as this. This is my wallet or your checkbook or whatever. We need to pray over everything in our life. Don't take things for granted. Pray over your finances. I appreciate the fact that you tithe. Thank God for the people of this church who are faithful in their tithe, and others that I believe God is speaking to your heart, because you see the many advantages that come from that. But I'm going to tell you, we'd better start praying about our finances. I mean, I can pay my bills. No, you missed the whole point. Pray while it's good. And when it's bad, it won't take half the hit on you that it could have. Pray while your health is good. Pray over your family. Pray over your church. Pray over everything that is around you in your life. We must be people of prayer. You know, Jesus prayed in such a way that they came to him and they said, "Teach us to pray." You know why? Because they saw that he prayed, number one. They saw that his prayer life worked or was working. And they wondered if there's any way they could get in on that. Is there any way that we can get in on that? And Jesus said, "After this manner, pray ye." Now, I know this thing's been kicked around, drop kicked. It's been hit from all sides. But you can't get rid of the Lord's Prayer no matter what you say and what you do. It's still going to be there. It's still going to be part of the wonderful plan of prayer. I know we go further. I know a new creation. I know. I teach, I minister along those lines. But I'm telling you, our Father which art in heaven, glory to God, we're acknowledging there is a God and that he is in heaven and that he is in control. He's the Lord of hosts. And no matter what's going on in this world, God has never failed his own. And just as this world system tries to provide a bailout for their own, do you think God Almighty is going to ignore the church of the living God, the faithful tithers and givers, and the people that have been faithful to God? God will not forsake his own. Now, you know this, but I must tell you, a prayer hindrance is unconfessed and unforgiven sin. Psalm 66:18. You can be saved and yet suffer from unanswered prayer because your spirit is brand new, but your head and your body can be a mess. And that's why we preachers will always have a job on planet Earth. Because we, along with you, have to keep plowing that field of our minds and our bodies. And about the time, I know we're technically sanctified, that's part of the new creation reality, but about the time you think you're sanctified, you look in the mirror and you have some questions there. Okay, moving here. You can be saved and yet suffer from unanswered prayer. Your spirit is a new creation in Christ, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17. But your mind and your body can still mess up. Amen. Think thoughts they shouldn't think. Body wants to sleep too much or not enough, eat too much or not enough. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me, Psalm 66:18. You know, that's part of the word too. And I come to this pulpit today having checked my heart, having released forgiveness to anything I've forgotten, releasing a spirit of love to folks that I forgot to love. I mean, I've run a checklist on myself before I came to preach this morning. I didn't want to stand up here with a lot of baggage of my own. I just wanted to be sure everything. It's not that I'm not going to heaven, but I mean, you know, how many know it's easier to go to heaven when you don't have all the baggage? Yeah. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those that, you know, trespass against us. 1 John 1 said, if we say we have no sin, we lie. And that's written to believers. And so part of my preaching is not only to win the lost, but to encourage those that know the Lord, even born again, spirit filled folks who leak. No, really, to encourage us. We're all human. I can't afford the luxury of sustained unforgiveness. I can't afford having a grudge or whatever. You don't live long without having some real opportunities to forgive, but you can't bog down there. You can't let that ruin the rest of your life. Because you see, our prayers being answered go back to the words of our mouth. Well, I can love everybody but that old devil. I don't mean Diablo, I mean a person, you know. Prayers being answered go back to the words of our mouth. Our face confession needs to be in line with the Word of God. You can't pray faith prayers and get on the battlefield and speak unbelief. David spoke faith to his father. David spoke faith to his brothers. David spoke faith to King Saul. And David spoke faith to the giant. He was very consistent. He just kept saying, no hill for a climber. He just kept saying, who is this ungodly Philistine who would speak against the living God? Then he comes to stand before the... You say, well, that's just words. No, it's more than words. It's faith words. It's faith words. You better know faith words when he's 4 foot taller than you are. Or 5 foot taller than you are. And your history, if God doesn't help you. This day, God's going to give you into my hand. You know, on our worst day, we just need to say, some way, somehow, God's going to see me through. I know that God has a victory for me. I can't see it. I can't feel it. I don't understand it. But I know that I have a God who is able. I know my God is able. My body doesn't feel it. My bank account doesn't feel it. I don't see it in my children or my grandchildren, but some way, somehow, God is making a way. God is making a way. You know, our prayer confidence grows stronger and stronger as we gratefully remember past answers to prayer. Why do we get so absorbed on what's not working right now and forget all the good things that God has done? Man, this ministry has a history. You got to start somewhere, but I mean, this ministry has a history. Sometimes I almost feel guilty telling you how God has brought us through, because I know some people say, yeah, one of those preacher stories. Listen, I'm half throttle. Someday I'm going to go full bore, just tell you as much as I can tell you, as strong as I can tell you, and tell you how impossible it was, and tell you how God made a way, not only where there seemed to be no way, where there was no way. Where there was no way. Oh, remember gratefully God's past answers to prayer. One of the greatest compliments I've had, and I don't know when, we have a couple that have been attending the church, and I shook hands. The kind of folks salt of the earth, don't say much. When they say something, they say it. And I said, "We're so glad to have you worship with us." He said, "We've never enjoyed a church experience like we've enjoyed it here." I said, "Well, praise God." He said, "You know, preacher, you and this church do things that others don't do." I said, "I finally found somebody that's got great wisdom." I get tired of hearing what we don't do and what we're not. He said, "You know, y'all do a lot of things I've never seen anybody else do." I said, "Well, maybe God tells us things He doesn't tell others to do. I don't know." What I'm saying is, thank God for a church that goes beyond, gets out of the box. Maybe not as much as you want us to, but we're further out of the box than you think we are. We're a lot further out of the box than you think we are. Prayer confidence grows stronger and stronger as we remember gratefully the past answers to prayer. How I cried out, "God, anything, anything that's right, and anything that works," and God sent the young hippies, the Jesus hippies, in. He was doing it in California, and He was doing it in Houston, and He was doing it in different places. And it was a turning point in our church. How that we desperately needed more room to grow, and how that we got the call from downtown property and said, "We believe you're the only church in Fort Worth that can handle it." Now, that's as absurd a statement as could be made. Here we are, a relatively small church in comparison to others that had been approached. But they said, "We believe you can do it." And you know what? God must have believed that, because we did. By Him we did. And we give Him the glory. And then I just think, you know, this enough to make you, as the old timer said, make you want to throw your straw hat over the windmill. In a time of recession, and in a time when all kinds of cutbacks and all kind of church staff, I mean, hey, there's some serious things that are going on today. I'm glad to have a job. I'm glad to have a job. Glad to have a job here. Glad to have a church like this to pastor. But in the midst of it all, Calvary Christian Academy has our highest enrollment in the 30-year history that we've ever had. Oh, I gratefully acknowledge how great is our God. How great is our God. Man, you don't know the lonely hours of sitting and thinking and planning and calling. You know, what should we do? Which way should we go? What? We've got the built-in quality. We have one of the finest Christian school buildings in all of America. And we do. It's been said by others. But what? But you know, all of a sudden God says, "You know, you've been willing and obedient over smaller things. Now I'm going to bless you with more, with much." And hasn't it been prophesied that the big and the much more is coming? Don't give up. Don't give up. Just keep on praising God. You need to keep a prayer journal if you don't. Keep a prayer journal. And remember that change begins with prayer. Do you have a companion that seems impossible? Do you have a child that seems impossible? Do you have a grandchild that seems impossible? What about your finances? We struggle. I mean, just go right down the line. Don't stop praying. I can smell victory. I can see victory. I can sense it in my spirit. Better things are on the way. Better things are on the way. So why should we pray, or why should we pray more? Because the more you pray, the better things get, if you pray in faith believing. Prayer is not throwing a dart at the board wildly. Prayer's not a shot in the dark. Prayer is praying on purpose and faith believing. And knowing that our God is able to see us through. This is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hear us. And we know that He hear us. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've desired of Him. 1 John 5:14 and 15.